The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about creating a better workplace and developing positive relationships where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague Roy Saunderson, and we're from the Recognition Management Institute. How are you doing today, Roy?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And yourself, Max?
Well, you know, I'm fantastic. I'm very excited for the show today with our guest, Peter Aceto, President and CEO of ING Direct Canada, and his colleague, Kate Johnston, ING Direct Senior Manager of Communications and Learning and Development. Roy, I can't imagine a better conversation than to be able to talk to people who are actually practicing this every day. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I think it's very important that we kind of focus on leaders who are getting it, which is where we probably have our greatest challenge with people who, you know, speak to us is how do we get our leaders involved? How do we get them to understand the importance of real recognition?
Yes, I totally agree. Let me give a little bit of a background on each of these guests today so people will have a perspective here. Peter is a passionate leader and committed to consumer advocacy. As a senior leader of ING Direct Canada, he provided his relentless focus and continues to provide that focus on delivering an outstanding customer experience and the cornerstones of success for ING Direct. He's most recently a member of ING Direct USA's Executive Committee and responsible for sales, marketing, and corporate communications. And prior to that, he held the posts of Chief Risk Officer, Chief of Staff, and Chief Lending Officer. While in the U.S., Peter championed the company's philanthropic activities, which focused on providing opportunities to underprivileged children across the country and around the world. He's been interviewed and quoted in various leadership and business books and in other publications. Also a very passionate student in the field of information technology, branding, and employee engagement. And Kate, as we mentioned as well, and thank you for being able to join us at short notice, Kate, the Senior Manager of Communications and Learning and Development, also at ING Direct. She's responsible for the planning and execution of all internal communication strategies and for establishing and maintaining a full range of effective training resources for the entire organization. She's a certified class facilitator in classes of writing dynamics, communications, presentation skills, Myers-Briggs type indicator assessments, and discussions. Most recently, she's assumed ownership of the charitable and community support strategy. And here she's responsible for ensuring all charitable and community projects align with ING Direct's corporate values in order to actively engage their employees and clients in the communities they support. So again, to both of you, thanks for being here and welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, great pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And Peter, let's start with you if we could. Could you tell us a little bit of the history of ING Direct and how you came about your current role?
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to. ING Direct, our shareholders, ING Group, in the Netherlands, and they had an idea to start a direct bank, and a bank that did business with customers over the internet and over the telephone. And they were looking around the world for a place that would be a fantastic place to figure out how to execute this model, and they chose Canada as the first place. ING Direct is now in 9 countries around the world. So it started about 14 years ago. My journey with ING Direct started right in around the same time. Actually, I started my career as a lawyer, but I wasn't overly thrilled with the law profession and wasn't sure it was a perfect fit for me, certainly the law firm environment. And I happened, quite by accident, to run into the person that was hired here in Canada to start the first ING Direct, which, as I said, has become a real global success story that started here in Canada. I just by chance happened to meet him, and he explained to me the story of what he was about to do, that he was going to launch a brand new kind of bank that used marketing, that used technology, that treated customers great, and was going to change the way Canadians did banking, and was going to change the way all citizens of the world could do banking. Great value, great service. And I was immediately compelled, and I've never been so inspired before. And asked if I could speak with him, for an interview, which he agreed to, and we very very quickly agreed that I would join the team, and I was the eighth member of ING Direct Canada's leadership team. And from then on, it's been a lot of fun and a lot of learning and a lot of success and a lot of great people along the way.
You know, it's interesting because you were attracted to it for this culture and these ideas that seem to be quite revolutionary from the norm. How have those cultural values maintained themselves as you've continued to grow?
Yeah, that's a great question, because at the time I was employee number 8. Within a year maybe we had, 200 people. We now have almost 1,000 people, and we've got people in different parts of the country. So you're right, that is a real, real challenge. But I think that the foundation that was built from the very, very beginning about what we stood for, about what it meant to be a leader, and the type of people that we hired, the type of people that got promoted, that there's been a real good foundation and consistency along the way in terms of being very true to it and being very, very clear to it. Now, look, it's in 14 years, it's ebbed and flowed. We've had different challenges. We've had different leaders run the organization. But I think underlying all that is a great foundation of a culture that's really, really different. And the kind of people that are attracted to us and the kind of people we make sure work with us, I think is really, really the key to sort of maintaining that, even when you grow and become more complicated and have more people sitting in different places and in different buildings.
Yeah, not an easy task for sure. You know, we talk about this a lot, and you see a lot of companies that start with an admirable goal. And sure, the challenges will come, but to be able to maintain some of the things you've done are quite unique. In fact, I love some of the values you talk about: diversity and challenging, unpretentious, connected and spirited. Very different than I would say from many other companies, who often take the tried and true innovation, trust, and communication, customer service kind of language. Not that that's a bad language to have either, but these are different. This is a bit unique. How did you come up with these value terms, and where did they originate?
Well, I think, as I mentioned before, the environment that we were going to have and the culture we were going to have, we knew right from the very beginning was going to be a key differentiator for our business. And there's not a lot of business. When you're starting is the best opportunity to think about that and get that right from the very, very beginning. When you wait and you do it later, it was interesting, I was reading an article that Tony, the CEO of Zappos, was writing about one of his entrepreneurial ventures that he started, and the biggest issue was it got successful too quickly. He hadn't thought about the corporate culture in advance, and it got away from him, and eventually he had to sell it. He learned that lesson and implemented it in the new company, Zappos.com. And I think we had the luxury and visionary leadership to realize culture was vital from the very, very beginning and could be a huge competitive advantage for us. Who we hire, how we talk to our customers, how we treat each other, to even when you become bigger, to not be bureaucratic, keep an entrepreneurial spirit, even though you're in a regulated industry that's becoming a little bit more complicated. So I think we've always had those underpinnings, although as the business has changed and as times have changed, we've always gone back and revisited the wording and the relevance of it and have changed them and evolved them as the world around us evolves and as our business evolves as well. So I think one real important lesson is, you know, what we chose 14 years ago, if we stuck to it and were rigid and weren't willing to be flexible and change it as the world changed, as our business changed, as our customers changed, even as employees changed, right, where they come from, their ages, their different values, you have to be willing to be fluid and flexible and change what works. And I think it's not just a formula. I mean, I think it's getting it right from the beginning, but certainly being open to change and listening and those types of things.
Let's take this the next step for just a moment. And Peter, coming back to what you were talking about, I think it's interesting because do you ever get pressure from shareholders that would say, hey, listen, taking care of the people, that sounds kind of nice, but let's get profits, pal. You know, I think that's kind of what was happening when you suggested about Tony, actually, from Zappos. You know, he gets a constant pressure to create a culture. Well, the investors just want profit and return. They're not sure that they actually want this special culture. Would you add anything to that?
Yeah, well, and that's absolutely true in my case. I mean, I work for a public company who the entity I'm a part of isn't public, but my shareholders public. They have all the demands and rigors of being a public company, and even more difficult being a financial services company in this environment that's changing. The regulatory environment's changing. So yes, I mean, I have every bit the same pressures in terms of results that any business has. So yeah, it's really good that you get back to that. I mean, one very important element of a leader at ING Direct is we still got to produce results, right? So I've got, you know, rigorous profit targets, I've got cost targets, I've got growth targets, and it's my job to balance these things. And the interesting thing about employee engagement is I do absolutely firmly believe that the companies with the most engaged employees are the companies over the long run that perform. I truly believe that. And there's a lot of debate about the chicken or the egg. I mean, which comes first, the results and then the engagement, or the engagement and then the results? And my belief is I'm a leader. I'm responsible for my organization. The thing I can control is employee engagement. So I need to make sure that's high. And if it's high, our people will give us everything that they have to offer. And we've got to be better than our competition if everyone we hire gives us 110% of what they have. And that's sort of my firm belief, and the walk that the walk that we talk and the talk that we walk at ING Direct.
Well, I appreciate that part of the conversation for sure. I think it is an investment, and as soon as quick companies can figure that out, and as you suggested, that the competitive nature of this industry, and not only this industry, but going forward in any industry, will really be dictated on the ability of our people to deliver great results. And I think that engagement really then does become an investment. We do have to take a quick break, Peter, but when we come back, I would love to get your comments on that, because we really want to continue to deliver, you know, how do we reconcile the public demands we have with how we take care of our people. And there are some great examples of that. I'm so glad you're with us today. Folks, we're listening to and on the line today with Peter Aceto, the CEO and President of ING Direct Canada, and his colleague Kate Johnston. And you're listening to Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please come right back.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with myself, Roy Saunderson, and Max Brown. And our guest today, President and CEO of ING Direct Canada, Peter Aceto, and Kate Johnston, the Senior Manager of Communications and Learning and Development. And Kate, I'm going to direct some questions to you right now, because I know we certainly heard the very passionate and exemplary message from Peter regarding the values of the organization. But how do you help instill that culture? How do you help reinforce, inspire, and make it a living piece of the organization rather than just some wallpaper with some statements on the wall?
Well, we have a little trick to that, actually. They're in everything that we do and everything that we speak about and publish on our corporate intranet, in any of the information that we send out. We make them living, breathing values, and I think that's the trick to it.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very simple. I think this is the other way that we're able to do it so effectively. Our values are very simple. We're the good guys. We're the challengers. We simplify. And that message we can spin into any of the announcements or communications that we send out. So they become part of the lifeblood of this organization. People remember them because they're simple, because they're in everything that we do. It's a very simple tactic, really, but it works very effectively, and I think that you could talk with any of our employees in this organization, and they would be able to tell you what our values are, which is very different than what I know a lot of organizations deal with. A lot of organizations have a hard time getting their employees to even embrace, let alone be able to repeat what they are.
Right.
Our employees can do that.
Now, you've gotten everybody to drink the Kool-Aid. I know you call it the orange spirit, and you even have an orange grove. Can you tell us a little bit about this orange grove?
I'll take this one, too. Our orange grove is our corporate intranet. It's fairly new. We launched it, I would say, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. It's our corporate intranet site. We've made it as orange as possible and as easy to maneuver around as possible. We have there's a lot of information in there. We're looking at ways all the time to make it interesting and dynamic and full of the information that our employees need to be effective, to be good guys, to be able to support and recognize other employees in other areas, and just to know what's going on in the business. It's their point of information for everything they need to know to be effective in our organization.
So you've made this very much a tool. How do you attract people to come in? That's always the concern. I've heard people in other companies say, "Well, we've got this intranet site. There's information there, but I never go there."
Mm-hmm. It can be difficult, and it's a challenge. I'll admit it. It's something that we work on all the time, and we're very aware of the number of hits that we have. So there are some metrics behind the soft communication tactics that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We continually tell people about it. We explain what's going on. If you need the information, please, push them towards what we call the OG. We let them know that anything that they need is there. We've done little things that when an employee comes into the organization, they are into the building in the morning and they power up their computer, it's an auto launch onto their screen. So it's
right.
Something that they have to move away from rather than move into.
Go to. Okay.
Yeah.
There's also
now, Peter,
some other wonderful tools that really, that drive people there. So just a very simple thing where you can find anyone in the organization, a picture of them, where they work, what their phone number is.
Right.
So that's very functional. People use it all the time. It's not there really to make life that much easier, but it does drive people to the site. So just like any business's website, You want to find things of interest so that
sure.
people want to be there, and then when they're there, you get what you want out of the deal. And I think, roughly speaking, probably 80%. Actually, I've polled employees myself. We probably have 50, 60% of our employees who read the OG multiple times a day, and probably wow. upwards of 85% of our organization are looking at the OG at least once a week. So there's another thing that I really like to do there. We actually use it as also a bit of a social internal social media tool.
Okay.
So one thing that's very important to me, and Kate and I work together on this with a few others, is how is it that, you know, one challenge a leader always has in the organization is no matter how open your culture is, no matter if we don't talk about titles in the office, but how do you really get the true feedback from your employees about
right.
what's not going well, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, people have no trouble telling you what you're doing well. But many people in their nature, you know, it's probably Maslow's hierarchy of needs. They have a little lingering doubt that if they're honest about something that's going wrong, it's going to be have a negative impact for them.
Right.
And we use the OG as a place where there can be an open dialogue, where people can ask questions on behalf of other people. I'm obliged to answer those questions within a reasonable period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, and she also has a team throughout the organization who is regularly involved in the chats that are happening at the water cooler and make sure that those views anonymously get consolidated and that I hear about them so that we can actually mm-hmm. do things about the things that really matter to people but are too afraid to mention it. And I think our internet is one key tool to do that, but you can't rely completely on it. I mean, you've got to rely on human beings. So.
You bet. So, Peter, there's almost 1,000 employees, you were saying. What else do you do to personally stay connected with your employees as a leader?
Well, I'll mention the first couple that come to mind, and then, Kate, I'll ask you because I'm likely to miss something. I actually probably spend a bit of an inordinate amount of my time on this particular matter. I do spend a fair bit of my time connecting with people at all different levels of the organization. Of course, there's the team that reports directly to me, and we have your typical meetings that any leader you'd expect to have, one-on-ones and team meetings.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to me that I have regular meetings with the direct reports of the people who report directly to me.
Right.
I also regularly, and I can tell you why if you're interested, I have regular meetings, sort of town halls with departments. You know, we're all, mm-hmm. We all, you know, we bring our lunch to work every day and we're all going to have lunch. So tomorrow, why don't I just have lunch with all the underwriters? We'll just sit in a room and we'll just bring our lunch there and talk about the business. And it's a great way for me to share information with the employees at all levels on a more intimate basis about what's going on in the organization, as well as I can glean an awful lot from them about what they know about the organization, and I can judge how well their managers are doing in terms of our philosophy, which I think you're gleaning out of what we're saying.
Yes.
What Kate and I are saying, you know, we believe that every one of our employees needs to know as much about our business as possible, whether it appears relevant to their specific job or not. It's my belief that if you have the right people, if they know everything possible about your organization and they're empowered enough that they can actually take action, they will do a much better job than if you just tell them the 10 things they need to do today. The key to that is they need to understand the business, right?
Right.
So that they can think. And that's why I and Kate, together as partners, spend an inordinate amount of time making sure that our leaders, but all of our associates, understand an awful lot about what's going on in the business. So we have many tools to do that. Kate, is there any one or two that you'd prefer to point out that I may not have mentioned?
I think that some of the ways, and I was saying to some of my colleagues earlier, I can enjoy just sitting back. Peter doesn't seem always understand the impact that he has on people in the organization. And so I can sit back and watch that and enjoy watching the interaction and the response of people with him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, one of the ways that we can stay so connected, Peter stays so connected with people, is we don't have offices here. We all have an open work environment. We don't have We have walls, but they're pretty short. Peter doesn't have an office. He sits on the sixth floor and is open, and anybody can walk by and wave, or if he looks up, say, hey, you know, how you doing? And
sure.
It's very, very open concept, very amenable to having those wonderful dialogues and drop-ins. We have a cafeteria. He's a regular user of the cafeteria, and I can I've seen many times when Peter's in the row of people waiting for their lunches, gets a lunch, gets a tray, and looks around for an empty seat at a table and asks to join and sits down and just blends right into the conversation. And this is ways that he stays connected with the employees. It's a very casual, very comfortable, very honest, very real relationship. And I think that's what makes it different.
Well, we love that concept of real as we talk about real recognition. I'm curious, Peter, obviously you've come in being a passionate leader. You're exemplary in what you do. How are you striving to get other leaders to replicate, if you will, their own personal leadership style, but in sync with the culture, and so that the people are not dependent just on your charismatic and passionate leadership style?
Yeah, I mean, that's critical. You mentioned in my bio that I had been I've been a part of ING for 14 years. I was in the U.S. for 7, so I've been back for about 2 years, and I had obviously a lot to share and a lot of passion, and really wanted to get momentum going in the organization. But I also wanted to show for the leaders of the organization, and many of them already got it, as I mentioned from the very, very beginning, that it is about what it means to be a leader at ING Direct, and being a passionate leader, and being able to explain a vision to employees that inspires and motivates them is actually part of the job. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be the kind of person that stands up on a table and waves their arms around like I
right.
am. You can do it and there's plenty of people on our team who get the very highest of performance reviews as leaders who are much more quiet. You know, they prefer to do it on a one-on-one basis, or you know, talking to a group of 5 people. So you have to. You guys mentioned being real, and you know, we say authenticity. I mean, you have to be real. It has to be authentic. You can't fake it.
No.
So you have the flexibility to do it, but leaders at ING Direct understand that it's a part of their responsibility to convey a passionate vision that motivates employees. That they have to, their employees need to know enough about the organization that they can take action on their own, and they understand. And so this is something that's part of in all the discussions I have. With certainly people in a leadership role, which we have on a regular basis, certainly the people that report to me, performance evaluations even have a leadership and cultural component to them. You know, where we actually evaluate: are you behaving in accordance with the values of the organization? And most recently, because we're sort of doing this as we're just doing it, we've actually added some structure to it. And Kate and her team have been very, very involved in designing something we've called a leadership blueprint, which is actually sort of writing down the competencies, the things that are unique to being a leader at ING Direct, and then providing some coaching, mentorship, and even curriculum to help people to strengthen some of these pillars of what it means to be an ING Direct leadership. And as you pointed out, one of you, you gentlemen pointed out, some of the ways we describe our culture and what it means to be a leader, sure, some of them are the same as everyone else's. You know, you've got to be results-oriented. I think anyone would have that.
Right.
You've got to be focused on the customer. I mean, that's critical. We're in a retail business.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other things, too, that are unique to what it's like to be a leader in our orange culture. And I think we've got that pretty clear, and we're actually going to be building these into performance appraisals and the systems and structure of how people get feedback about their performance, particularly in a leadership role.
Well, Peter, this has been very exciting. Kate also. We're certainly picking up on the culture of ING Direct, that's for sure. We're going to take a quick break. Join us in a few minutes on Real Recognition Radio as we ask our guests, Peter Aceto and Kate Johnston, more about the CEO's point of view at ING Direct. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Sonneson and Max Brown.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about: getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and myself, Max Brown, and our guests today, President and CEO of ING Direct Canada, Peter Aceto, and Kate Johnston, who's a Senior Manager of Communications and Learning and Development. Welcome back to both of you. And just before that break, Peter, you were talking about some of these leadership characteristics that you expect and that you're actually going to be putting into the performance reviews and holding people accountable by. Could you just tell us a little bit more about what those look like or what those might be?
Yeah, I'd be very happy to. It's hot off the press for us in terms of, you know, really applying some resources to making sure we're driving this through the organization. Let me begin actually by saying when we say leadership, actually what we call the leadership blueprint doesn't just apply to people who have leadership titles. It actually applies to every single person in the organization, whether you have people reporting to you or you don't have people reporting to you. So you could be an associate, right? But you're a leader too, right? And maybe it's a leader of yourself. But certainly this applies to every single person in the organization. And the key attributes that sort of we've decided are the ones we really, really want to focus on are six, actually. So there's ones you'd typically expect to see, like a leader at ING Direct should be results-oriented. A leader at ING Direct should focus on the customer. A leader at ING Direct should build high-performing teams. So those things you'd expect to see. But the other things that I think are really important to us, too, is maintaining an entrepreneurial spirit. So leaders at ING Direct have to behave like entrepreneurs, not like bureaucrats. They need to be entrepreneurial in their behavior. They need to convey an inspirational ING Direct-specific vision and strategy to employees that excites them and motivates those people to be excited to wake up in the morning. We want our employees to not have to use the alarm to get up in the morning because they're so excited to go to work. And the last one, and I'll maybe argue maybe the most important one when we're talking about leadership, is the development of self and others. You know, leaders at ING Direct need to understand that they need to be self-evaluating. They need to always be aware of what their strengths and weaknesses are and be willing to be self-improving. But also their huge role of developing others in the organization. And that's something I particularly enjoy being a part of and watching, people who have lots of energy and lots of desire and giving them the opportunity to grow and try new things. So I think those are the key elements for what it means to be a leader at ING Direct.
So many questions, actually, based on these three or six items you mentioned here. I don't even know where to begin, but let me start with this by saying that, so how do you continue to build people? And Peter, it sounds like you spend a lot of time creating relationships with people all around the organization. In a given day, what percentage of your time do you think that you're actually just spending it creating relationships and mingling with people and getting to know others?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say it's probably maybe slightly more than 50%. of, of my day. I probably spend maybe 30% of my day doing stuff that's totally, let's say, antisocial, like, you know, reading memos, writing things, reading presentations. But pretty much every other interaction other than that, even if it's for a very specific business purpose, to me is relationship building. The way I do not conduct meetings like they are taught. I mean, yes, I have agendas. Yes, you need to stay on time. But I also enjoy the camaraderie of the first 5 minutes of the meeting and connecting with the people in the room. And I love learning about people. And last night, for example, yesterday our Ottawa call center received the best call center in Ottawa award. And they had a party, and I actually flew out for the party. And it was probably the most fulfilling thing I've done this week is to spend time with 100 people in Ottawa, most of which are in our call center talking to our customers, and to see how proud they were and to learn about their families and their children and their career aspirations. And so I think this is very, very fundamental, connecting with people at all levels of the organization. I'm lucky in that I actually enjoy it. That's the kind of person I am. It's not hard work for me. But I think it's a very, very important investment. And even on the days we wake up where we don't feel like behaving that way, because we're human, I think it's so important that it needs to be done anyway. So I'd say certainly more than 50% of my time during any day is in this category of building relationships. Now you're getting things, you're getting information, or you're conveying something at the same time. So, you know, time can be allocated in more than one way for the same period of time, but I think the relationship building is very, very important for me.
Well, I appreciate the example there and sharing an example of how you recognized employees last night, even just going to Ottawa and celebrating with them. Kate, can you share other examples of how the culture recognizes and appreciates employees for good work?
Absolutely. It's something that we take to heart here. Employees are celebrated, and their good work is always celebrated. We have a variety of ways to do that. One of them is we instituted a while ago a peer-to-peer awards program. And when I say a program, it's not specific, it's not bureaucratic. It is as simple as leaving thank you notes, ING Direct thank you notes in all of the departments, and encouraging employees to pick one up, write it up, deliver it to an employee who's made their life a little bit easier or has just, you know, said something that got them through a difficult situation. Just simple as that. For those employees who somebody feels has gone just a little bit above and beyond that, has done something outside of their normal expectation, we bring that up to another level called an Orange Spirit Award, where employees are nominated again by their peers and are rewarded with recognition points that they can redeem for something that they might like, including ING Direct product. And what I notice is this is very important to our employees. You see these thank you cards and Orange Spirit certificates regularly displayed in the workstations. People are really proud to get these. The other things that we do that I think is a little bit different is we also celebrate the people who have recognized their peers. And that's kind of, you know, it's a lot harder in a lot of cases to take the time to go the additional mile to make the recognition, to make the nomination. And that needs to be celebrated as well. So we're busy with those kind of things. Aside from that, aside from seeing the thank you cards and the Orange Spirit Awards, Peter regularly writes handwritten notes of thanks to employees, and I see those displayed. Those go a long way, and those are something that everybody's very proud when they get one. They display them confidently and proudly. There's so many things that we do. Even Peter, he gets involved with the hiring of every employee. The hiring and interviewing of every employee, which is a real wow factor for someone coming into the organization. In a lot of bureaucratic organizations, you don't ever get to meet the CEO. Again, that just goes to show how involved he is in the organization and how important the culture and engagement is here.
Yeah, I'd like to, Kate, I'd like to add one as well that I'm particularly proud that, you know, the team came up with, and it's called our Orange Role Model Award.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like, it sort of brings all of what we've talked about today together. And this is a very special one. We probably only give out, you know, maybe 7, 8, 9 of these a year. And what it is, you know, people, you know, fantastic employees who really are role models. You know, people who, mm-hmm. who I can say, you know, this is a role model of our organization, and a role model at ING Direct is someone who lives and breathes and behaves in accordance with all the things we've talked about during this radio mm-hmm. interview in terms of personal leadership and development and going the extra mile and their passion and the way they execute their job, you know, over and above that, they're focusing on the customer and that they behave in an entrepreneurial way, that they've actually do things on a regular basis to simplify things in the workplace and to simplify things for our customers and to challenge the status quo. And we find people like this, we recognize them in front of the whole organization and give them, it's kind of a trophy with a big orange ball. And we tell them, you're allowed to bring it home, but you got to bring it back to the office, because we want people in the organization to know you're a role model, so that they, if they just copied you, right, mm-hmm. then they'd be a superstar. And mm-hmm. that's one way for us to make values, which we all know that principles and values, like we will simplify, we are the challengers, we are the good guys, can actually mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. You know, they can be interpreted lots of different ways.
Yeah.
And but when you can actually see it in a person, people get it better. They go, okay, I get what they mean by we will simplify. So I think that's a bit of recognition, which it's great to recognize the individual, but for me, it helps 10 more people click about, okay, I get it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it's actually emulating and like you said, setting people up to say, this is what we all aspire to be like. This is what we want to do, as opposed to just always knocking people for what they're not doing.
That's well said. And you know, you sit next to some, across the table from someone, and we say, you know, okay, one of our principles or our values is we will simplify. You know, mm-hmm. What have you done, you know, to simplify? And you know, people. It can mean so many different things, right? So
yes.
When you can actually give real-life examples of this is what we mean when we say, you know, simplify, and this is how it applies to someone in finance, and this is how simplifying applies to someone in audit, and
yeah.
This is how simplify applies to someone in HR, you know, how you make those broad statements about the organization relevant to an individual in their specific job is something that takes time and energy, and it helps to have living examples.
Well, it does take time and energy for sure, but it sounds like it's paying off in big ways for you at ING Direct, and I think these are some wonderful examples. You know, we only have one segment left. We have dozens of questions to still ask, and we'll just never get through them all, but we're having a great time having this conversation. I would love to find out, you know, how you keep that recognition alive and real and authentic, as you suggested earlier. We'd love to hear, like, how you deal with the challenges of managers who aren't getting this well. But we got to do that after the break, so we're going to have to take this one. Please come back as we take our final segment with Peter Aceto and Kate Johnston for Real Recognition Radio. This is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. Let's continue our conversation today with President and CEO of ING Direct Canada, Peter Aceto, and Kate Johnston, Senior Manager of Communications and Learning and Development, who are our guests today to learn some final pointers, not only on just what ING Direct is doing, but also a CEO point of view on the topic of real recognition. And just to kind of head off this final section here, Kate, I know there's a lot that's done about employee engagement. I know you are all passionate about this. How do you measure engagement? How do you hold your leaders accountable for the outcomes?
It's a very good question. You're right. We are passionate about engagement here. We know that employees who are doing something that they love to do are going to be better at doing what it is that they do and better at celebrating those things within their teams, building solid teams. So we do take this very seriously. There is a lot of statistics behind this. We regularly participate in a variety of surveys. So we have a couple that we run. We run one from our ING group head office that comes out on a quarterly basis. We have another survey. I won't go into the details or the names of them, but we have another survey that is for compares us to all the other ING Direct so that we can measure and learn and best practices from them to have a look at where they're scoring and where we're scoring. So we get actual tangible results that we can then act on. And these, again, are updated regularly. We take these results and then we talk with the different departments about them. And it doesn't just stop there. We analyze. We have affiliate with each one of the departments. We have an engagement lead. And it's that lead's responsibility to meet with our corporate engagement specialist to continually look for opportunities to improve. Also to look for areas that aren't working so well that we can tweak and learn from other departments that are doing really well. So we take it very seriously, and from an accountability perspective, the leaders of each of the business lines are held accountable for their results on a regular basis. These conversations don't happen once a year and then are shoved into the back closet.
These are going on
a monthly basis.
Ooh, that's great.
Now, just to add to that too, there's a risk to all this survey activity. If you ask employees to tell you the truth about what's going well and what's not going well, that's great. But they do expect that for that effort, they're going to get something for it. And if they tell you what's wrong, they expect that you're going to be honest with them and tell them what the cumulative view is about what's wrong, and then they're going to expect that you do something about it. So I would recommend to anyone, you know, that you've got to be willing to listen to the results no matter what they say and take action. And you got to be willing to share the results with employees. I mean, these people are smart. So if you ask them for their feedback, they're going to expect you're going to do something about it. And, you know, Kate and her team sort of lead the charge on this, but we get departmental level engagement information on every single department. We know which leaders responsible for that department, and the people who the score is actually not the most important thing, but the scores show us which departments are lagging behind where we'd like them to be. And Kate and her team just they talk to them and they go into the weeds, find out what are the top three reasons why the employees are less engaged than they ought to be, and then they attack those reasons. So I think it is pretty systematic. It is well measured, and the leaders definitely feel accountable for the results.
It's the actions that you take when you see that there's an opportunity. It's the actions that the employees appreciate. As Peter said, we're open and we're honest and we're transparent, and you can state when there's something that needs to be acted upon, and as long as you walk the talk, you get your engagement.
Absolutely. Now, do you draw upon like external studies, like Gallup or other leading indicators and best practices for your engagement and recognition, or do you just simply rely upon your culture and the ING direct kind of survey reports that you do?
I'd say more the latter. Although I and there's others in the organization who are, as actually you mentioned, sort of students of this. I sort of just enjoy reading about this subject and what other people are doing all the time. So I always have more than an implementable amount of ideas, and there are other people in the organization who feel the same way. So we don't have a formal, rigorous thing that we do, but we're regularly sort of keeping up with what's going on out there on in the whole engagement sort of category.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. Now, you've talked about the importance of recognition. We certainly know from both of you on the show today how important it is to you personally and what you've described, but how do you keep those direct reports and other leaders in tune with knowing that employee recognition can be a driver of performance?
Yeah, so it's look, I don't want to make it sound like everything's perfect and rosy all the time, because I don't think that would be an accurate reflection of what it's actually like to do business, mm-hmm. and work and have 1,000 employees and 2 million customers. I mean, and it's mm-hmm. it's a bit too rosy. So not every leader in our organization gets it. I think we have an inordinate amount of people in our organization who do get it. But there's always sort of the residual, people who are sort of slow to sort of on the take up, or they use the typical excuses like, well, I'm too busy, my area's too busy, I don't have time for this, I've got this to do, I don't have time for that. So it really is repetition, and it is, because it's high on the list of myself and others, and because we actually have resources like Kate and her team who are sort of regularly making sure this issue is on the top of the list, pretty regularly.
Yeah.
When I have one-on-ones with individuals, I'm talking about these issues. I'm trying to figure out what's going on and providing regular feedback about these things. I think for me, mostly, I try and lead by example in this particular case. So when I find it, Kate mentioned that I'll write personal letters to people, which I love to do, although, as you can imagine, an organization, there's a lot of great people who are doing a lot of great things, which means a lot of handwritten letters. So
yeah,
it's still worth the time, because the reaction I get is pretty over the top. But there's also easier ways to give recognition as well. I mean, sometimes we'll send emails out. I heard you did this, or this got done on time. Hey, great job. Just it's not difficult to give recognition. It's funny, in my history, in my working history, whenever you do this type of engagement type work, not feeling appreciated or not being thanked enough is always like in the top three, right?
That's right.
Of things that show up. And it has got to be the easiest thing to fix. It's not expensive to fix it. It's easy to give the type of recognition that people really want. It's not necessarily about money or material things. They just want to feel like, for all the effort they gave you, right, that you noticed it and you appreciate it. And it doesn't actually take a lot to move that number and make people feel appreciated. On the other side of things, and I'm sure you've addressed this in some of your other interviews, is you can't be flippant with it either. I mean, people actually have to earn the recognition, because it doesn't mean anything anymore if you just hand it out to anyone. So there's a balance there too. So it's very important to me. We've got resources in the organization to make sure that leaders who don't think they have time for it realize they're responsible and accountable. And we've got ways of measuring it to make sure that they keep their eye on the ball. It's not a perfect science, though.
No. Well, I want you to know, Peter and Kate and Max, I think you'll agree, I think we have drank very heavily from the orange grove today.
Well, we are so grateful you would both join us today. It's just been fantastic to have you both here.
Thank you.
And I want you to know, it's been wonderful to have you, Peter, from a CEO perspective, because you are certainly emulating a very unique leadership style that is not common. And I know, Kate, you've talked about the bureaucracy and of other organizations, and so we certainly commend both of you for keeping the culture alive and keeping Recognition Real at ING Direct Canada. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you guys for having us. It's we've had a great time, too.
Absolutely. Thank
you. If people would like to get in touch with you, what would be a good way to connect with your organization?
Well, our website is ingdirect.ca, and we have, I personally have a Twitter account, which is CEO_ingdirect, which I love to use, and that's how I met Max, actually. And I don't know, Kate, any other recommendations?
I can put it out there. If you have any questions, you can certainly contact me as well. I'm happy to coordinate that. As well as our, from a external site, you can contact our PR department in our marketing area as well.
Wonderful. Well, that's very generous of you, and we, again, appreciate your presence today. If tune into our show next time as Max and I continue to discuss, dig deeper, and find out more about real recognition, creating better workplaces, and developing positive relationships where people can thrive. Max and I welcome and encourage your comments and suggestions for future guests and questions that you might have by emailing us at feedback@realrecognition.com. And we certainly look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening to us at Real Recognition Radio. For more information about the Recognition Management Institute, please visit us at realrecognition.com. Until next time, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.